The things that Paul listed in verses 6 and 7 had to do primarily with immorality. Here, in verses 8 and 9, the things that Paul lists had to do primarily with the way we speak. He lists anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language and lying. I think it's fair to say that probably about 99% of the problems that we get into in life have something to do with the way we talk. It has something to do with getting angry. It has something to do with all of these things that Paul lists here in verse 8, with wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language. In verse 9, lying. There is an emphasis in the Old Testament on how we speak. I've noticed that the fonts are very small this morning, so you might have to just write these down and look them up later in your Bible. Matthew chapter 12, let me read it to you. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. He's speaking to the Pharisees now. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus said, out of the heart, out of what's on the inside of us, our mouths speak. You can tell what's on the inside of a person by how they talk. Another passage that talks about our speech is James chapter 3. James says, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Of all the members of our bodies, the tongue is one of the smallest. And yet it gets us in trouble over and over again. It's the tongue that gets us in trouble by the way we talk. Paul says it's like a forest fire that's been set. And the tongue has been set, he says, on fire by hell itself. Matthew makes a point that it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Our speech betrays our character. Our speech tells people who we really are. That's why Christians are to put off certain kinds of speech, because they do not reflect the person of Jesus. If you are an angry person, if you are a wrathful person, if you are someone who blasphemes, if filthy language comes out of your mouth, if lying comes out of your mouth, those things are not compatible with who you are as a Christian. They do not reflect Jesus. Remember, we are not known by who we claim to be. We are known by our fruit. We are known by the things that come out of our mouth. You can tell people all day long that you are a Christian. But if the things that come out of your mouth do not reflect Jesus, then they have no reason to believe that you're a Christian. The last thing that James says in verse 10 should really grab our attention. He says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. We come to church on Sunday. We bless God. We sing all these wonderful songs, whether it's Christmas carols or another song, other songs. And on Monday, we curse the guy that cuts us off on the highway. With the same mouth, we try to bless God and we curse man. James says, that's just not right. That is not what represents Christianity. That is not who we are. In the last two verses of the section that we're looking at here in Colossians 3, Paul gives us the fundamental reason that our lives are to be different from what they used to be. He talks about putting on the new. Now, the main section of putting on the new is going to be what we look at next Sunday in verses 12 through 17, but he gets into it here. He introduces it to us here in verses 10 and 11. And he says, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In our salvation, we went from what Paul identifies as the old man, and he does that in passages like Romans 6:6. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You see, your old self was crucified with Jesus. Your old self died on the cross with Jesus. In Ephesians 4:22, he says, put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old man is who we were. It's who we used to be before Christ came into our lives. He says, now we're to put on the new man. What Paul is saying in verse 10 is that our conduct is not to be what it used to be. It's not what he described. Our conduct is not what he has described in verse 5. It's not what he has described in verses 8 and 9. But the way we live life is to be consistent with our new position in Christ. Now listen, that's not easy. Paul is not saying that is going to be easy. In fact, you're not going to wake up some morning and suddenly everything is different. You'll no longer be tempted by sin. You'll no longer have to do battle with sin. You'll just be perfect. Well, I should say someday you are going to wake up that way, but only when Jesus comes. Even the Apostle Paul battled sin. Do you remember what he says back in Romans chapter 7? He says, I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I want to do, I don't practice that. And what I hate, that's what I do. How many of you have been there this week? The things you want to do for God, you just don't do those things. And the things that you hate, the things you despise, you suddenly find yourself doing. We're all there. You see, the Apostle Paul knew what it was like to do battle with temptation. And every one of us have had that experience. If you struggle with temptation and you struggle with sin, you are not alone. Paul struggled with it. You and I struggle with it. So when Paul says here, put on the new man who is renewed, he's saying, and literally this is what it says, put on the new man who is in the process of being renewed. Our self, our new self that we're to put on needs a constant renewal. Can I tell you it's probably a daily renewal? There will never be a time on this earth when you don't struggle with temptation. There's never going to be a time in your life when you don't do battle with sin. So every day, we're to put on the new man. And Paul says we do that by being renewed in knowledge. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. Being renewed in the knowledge of the Word of God. Listen to me. It is the Word of God that the Holy Spirit will use to change your life. Now, can the Holy Spirit use circumstances? Absolutely. Can the Holy Spirit use another person in your life? Absolutely. But primarily, the Holy Spirit ministers in our lives through the Word of God. And that's why it is so important for Christians to be in the Word of God. It is the Word of God that is the primary tool that the Holy Spirit uses in our lives to protect us from sin. If you're not in the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit does not have that tool to use in your life. And you're missing out. And so Paul says, put on the new man who is being renewed daily by the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, verse 11, at least in my way of thinking, doesn't seem to fit with everything he has said so far. There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, what does that verse have to do with being transformed by Jesus? Well, one of the issues that the early church had to deal with was racism that came out of their culture. The Greeks, those are the Gentiles, didn't like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like the Gentiles. And the slaves hated their masters, and the masters looked down on the slaves, and the rich despised the poor, and the poor despised the rich. And these divisions were deep in the culture. And they were carried from the culture into the church. And what Paul is saying in verse 11 was that the old way of looking at people needed to change. It needed to be different now that they were Christians. They were new people in a spiritual sense, and those old racial divides and economic divides and cultural divides had to be put away. There's no place for those divisions in the church of God. Listen, we still battle this today. How many of us look at someone of another culture and they're not quite as good as us? How many of us look at someone with a different skin color and we think, well, yeah, they're okay, but they make me nervous. I'll cross the street and walk on the other side. It happens. It happens here in Berks County. We don't think that people of another ethnic background or racial background are quite as good as we are. And Paul says we need to get rid of those divisions. Don't think like that. That is not thinking like Jesus. Now here's the point of verse 11. Or of these, I should say, these 11 verses. The focus of the Christian life is not to be on the things of the earth. It is to be on the things of God and on the things of heaven. And that means that there are things that might be in your life that you need to put to death. And there might be things in your life that you need to put off. And there might be things in your life that are missing and you need to put them on. So that your focus is the right focus. So that your focus is the focus of the transformed life. Each week I try to remind all of us that our lives have been transformed by Jesus so we can live like Jesus. And the challenge for us this morning is to do an inspection of our lives. Are there things that you need to put to death in your life? Or are there things you need to put off in your life? Are there things you need to put on in your life so that you are presenting Jesus to the world, so that your life is representing a transformation? God transformed you in salvation, and He is transforming you each day to form you into the image of Jesus, but you have a responsibility in that process of being transformed. That's why we have these statements. Put to death, put off, put on. You see, transformed people will live transformed lives. There's no question about it. People who have been transformed by the grace and the power of God will live transformed lives. And so what do you need to do this morning so that your life demonstrates that it's been transformed? As I lead us in prayer this morning, I want to encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to talk to God. Say, God, I know I need to put this to death in my life. I've really struggled with it. God, help me. I know I need to put this off in my life. I've just hung on to it. And the language Paul uses in that put off, put on is a language they use of taking clothes on and off. I used to get rid of this dirty shirt. I need to put on a clean one. I need to put off this dirty thing in my life. I need to put on something clean. Would you talk to God this morning, Father? This is a convicting portion of the book of Colossians. For we are dealing with some very personal things here. Things that affect all of us. Things that become very practical in our lives. Lord, help us to realize that You have saved us so that we can live a certain kind of life. Lord, if we need to put to death some things, help us to do that this morning by Your power and by Your grace. If we need to put some things off, help us to do that. If we need to put some things on, help us to do that this morning. Lord, deal with hearts and lives today. Change us all by the power of God, that we might reflect Jesus. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.